God has given each one of us gifts to be used for His body. Let's begin today's C&V with this from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
The body of Christ is a family, and we all have gifts, the Bible said, but we all need to use our gifts, because if you aren't using your gifts, it may be exactly what the person next to you needs. So tonight He talks to us in a coded language, in a sense, crypto, for those of you that might be in the military, in a way that the normal person cannot understand what He's saying. And you need to be open to be used by the Lord in ways that are supernatural.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Throughout the gospel messages, Jesus taught the people in parables. Through the Holy Spirit, the meaning of these parables has been revealed to us. Jesus told us, "If a man has ears, let him hear." Jesus is still speaking to each one of us today. Are we listening? The title of our message is Sowing and Reaping. Mike begins our study in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, here now on Chapter and Verse.
Turn to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark and pick up where we left off last week. The Holy Spirit is a very interesting person, and He is with us right now tonight, and He knows in some of your hearts you need a little bit of help, and He wants to give you that help. You know, the Holy Spirit can go anywhere. And I think I shared stories in the last 3 weeks of all the, not everyone, but several of the death rows in penitentiaries around the world I've been to. And I've seen some of the hardest people, even getting ready to die and still stubborn, be touched by the Holy Spirit. You know that thief on the cross story? One of them says, "Remember me, Lord, when You come into Your kingdom." The other one said bad things. And the Lord said, "This day you'll be in paradise with Me," to the one that said good things. Maybe you've known people that are bitter, hard-hearted, on their very deathbed. They're cursing God. Some people do. That's very, very sad to see. Kathy, who was playing the piano here, her father went to heaven yesterday. And I think he was 90-something. If I'm not mistaken, she was able to lead him to the Lord some time ago. And you may know somebody that really needs the Lord. I'd like to encourage you to bring them next week, because the fifth chapter of Mark is my story. When a man shouldn't even be alive and God intervenes, there isn't anybody on this planet that God will not save if they just ask Him. He won't reject you. "Draw close to Me and I'll draw close to you," God says. So if you have a friend, I know there's two people that are homeless. One, a Marine. He's on the streets of Riverside. I know his mother and father. They're from the Midwest. They're probably listening tonight. And I'm going to try to find him this next week on the streets of Riverside, even if it's 100 degrees. I know God wants him. He's shocked from the war. Another one, I have a picture of him passed out in a park in Huntington Beach. There's a man that every year does a special outreach to fatherless children in Fullerton at a big park. And his dad is passed out and drunk or stoned every day. And his mother, that young man's mother, gave me a photograph. And I've been memorizing his face, size of person he is. And I want to see him show up next Sunday night. Don't be afraid to pray for tough people or bad people. You know, God is on your side. Who in the world can be against you? There are people that need to be saved. And the time is now better than ever. So, Lord, we thank You for Your presence here this evening. We thank You for the unseen audience on the internet, streaming through Facebook, from the webpage, through Calvary Radio Network, and other radio stations throughout the country. We want to thank You for the privilege of being with You tonight. And Lord, I know that You have some wonderful things to say about Jesus tonight. And so I'm praying that you would do what Jesus says more than one time. He that has ears, let him hear. Would you open our spiritual ears tonight? No matter if we're a brand new believer or we've been a believer for 60 or 70 years, we never stop learning and you never stop speaking. But sometimes we plug our ears. So, Lord, open our ears to hear what you have to say to us tonight, and let us all grow because of this and your great love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is something that's to be said about age, especially spiritual age, because there are little indicators that you begin to learn when the Lord is doing something special. And one of them is selflessness. Now, these musicians are here on their own free will, leading us in worship on Sunday nights. They're doing it because they love the Lord and they want to be a blessing to you. And many times, musicians, like preachers, are not always that willing to share. And to see a big group like this step aside that Chuck could take the evening is a sign the Holy Spirit's at work in this building. It's a really great sign. And when you get older in the Lord, you realize the body of Christ is a family. And we all have gifts, the Bible said. But we all need to use our gifts, because if you aren't using your gifts, it may be exactly what the person next to you needs. So tonight he talks to us in a coded language, in a sense, crypto for those of you that might be in the military, in a way that the normal person cannot understand what he's saying. And you need to be open to be used by the Lord in ways that are supernatural. It's not going to be a big supernatural drum roll when it happens, but you know it was way beyond you, and God has done something. So he talked in parables. You all know parables. Parables, the word simply means more than words, literally, or illustration. It's a picture. Why did the Lord say something that was more than words? And why did he develop a picture through the words to use as an example? And so tonight he answers those very questions to the people around him that are going to be the first ones to multiply the kingdom of God and to open the eyes and ears of all those that are lost. So again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, take heed, or literally, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And there's our word again, immediately. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit, no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, and this is a tremendous key, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive. Hearing they may hear and not understand.
lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? It's like this is the key. If you can't understand this, how are you going to understand all, A-L-L, the parables? This parable is the key that unlocks all parables because it unlocks our understanding. Let me read a short paragraph from G. Campbell Morgan, a great English Bible teacher. He said concerning verses 1 and 2 and 10 and 12, we have the explanation of the reason of parables by Jesus. He clothed divine truth in picture forms that men might more easily look upon it and learn it. Just as he himself veiled in human form that men might have some vision of God suited to their capacity. That makes sense, huh? A parable is revealing something like Jesus in human body form is revealing God the Father to us. In fact, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the parables have many, many different depths to them. I can remember one night when Chuck Smith was teaching this a long time ago, and he said, I really think it's very difficult for a pastor to teach the parables unless he studied them for 20 years. I thought, oh boy, I'll never teach the parables. But there's a lot of truth to that, because the parables can keep hitting you and blessing you. Every year you learn a little bit more and something a little bit different. So the parables are very important, but he did say that the people on the outside, otherwise not the seed of the Lord, but the seed of the devil, they cannot totally understand what's being said. And so you're able to hear because the Spirit is going to interpret for you. So it's the sowing of the seed. I think you picked it up by now. There's four seeds, 25% to each seed, and you are one of the four seeds, and hopefully you're the fourth seed, the good seed. But let's look at it in light of this, that it has a lesson in it about these seeds. And it may be you. It may be somebody you know. People fall away from the Lord, and yet God can allow them to come back. But just look at these seeds for a minute, and you might have a friend that you're going to think of immediately. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is to pray as soon as that person comes to your mind, that the Holy Spirit will bring up some people and go, why, that's her, that's him, that's that couple, that's our neighbor. So don't think it unusual. These names are going to pop up. Say a prayer for them immediately. And here's what we'll look at in kicking this off. And again, he began to teach by the sea. A great multitude gathered together to him, and he got him a boat. He had to push off of the shore. He sat in it. The multitude was on the beach facing the sea, and he's looking back at them. So he taught them many things, not just one little thing, but many things are being taught. So behold, listen, a sower went to sow seed. It happened. And that's how it is with sowing seed. It just happens. If you just start sowing it, it happens. It goes here, there, up, down, wherever it lands. A sower went out. It happened as he sowed that some fell of the seed by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. The second one fell on stony ground when it did not have much earth. Immediately it sprang up because it was seed, but it had no depth of earth. So when the sun came out, it scorched it, and it withered away. The fourth one, or a third, said it fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it yielded no fruit. Actually choked out. But other seed, 75% has made it, fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, number one. Number two, increased. Number three, produced some 30-fold, 30 times more than itself, some 60, some 100. So now we go to verse 10. When he was alone, those around him with the 12, so that could be more than the 12 disciples, asked him about the parable. And he told him, here's the answer. To you it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the people on the outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see and perceive, and hearing they may not hear and understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now notice it was when he was alone. That's like a morning devotion. That's like you being alone with the Lord is where he really reveals to you deep things that he wants you to do, or he's trying to work in your life, or he's showing you something. I can remember a couple that I met the wife one time. There was one, two, three of us that from around the country back in the 70s had heard at the same time to pull away to pray. And so we pulled away and we met in a city that was sort of neutral, close for each of us. And as we were praying there, of all things, it was everybody's dream, pull away to Hawaii and pray. So we did that. And out of that, there are many, many Calvary chapels that are planted today. But I was at a person's house who was a very well-known surfer and surfboard maker. And they originally started in San Diego. And they knew that I was there in their area and said, would you teach our home Bible study? I said, of course. So it was out in the back country on the island of Kauai. And it was very rustic, to say the least. But there's no room in the house, just like we saw the first chapter of Mark. No room at all. And I sat down to a lady I'd never met before. And we were talking to all the people around us. And then we talked and prayed together. And it turned out that her husband, who was a very, very wealthy man and owned a very large company, was a personal friend of Ronald Reagan's. And she said that, would you pray for my husband? He needs to walk closer to the Lord. And now his friend is our president. And I said, well, yeah, that's kind of a cool thing, isn't it? Little did I know that a few years later, there would be some Christians in the basement of the U.S. Embassy that were Russian. They're known as the Siberian Seven. They were in a room 8 feet long, wide and 10 feet long, 80 square feet, with two cots, seven people, with two cots and one small, small shower. And they were there just about 5 years. Long story short, I was asked, could you help? Lydia Vashenko is on a fast and she's going to die. And is willing to die to get the world's attention that because they're Christians in Russia are being persecuted. I said, yeah, I'll be glad to help. And they said, would you take a message to the president on Tuesday? And I said, well, I'll be happy to do that. And then I said at the end of the conversation, who do I call or talk to about meeting the president? Oh, we don't have any contacts with the president. I said, what? Well, how am I going to meet him? He said, well, just to pray and figure it out. So I started praying. I wrote down a list. Now let's see. Who would know? And I thought, oh, I know who his pastor is in the Presbyterian Church in Bel Air. I know I could call somebody from Billy Graham. I could call, and I thought of all these different people. And so when it came to pass, that Sunday afternoon after, I think, four services, I remembered that lady from 3 or 4 years earlier. Never met her before, never saw her again, but she gave me her phone number. I called her phone number. I said, do you remember me? She says, of course. We listen to you on K-Wave every night. You do? Yeah. Well, I remember you too. That's why I'm calling you. And I told him, says, oh, I'm all familiar with those people. I said, is there any way that your husband could get a message to the president that these people are going to intervene and send a doctor and we're going to help with the airfare and things like that? She says, well, he's in the Oval Office with Ronnie right now. I'll call you back. Click. He's in the office with Ronnie in the Oval Office. So she calls back and she said, you're supposed to do the red eye and get here first thing in the morning. My husband will meet you, and that's how it'll go. Well, that was an open door by the Holy Spirit. I mean, so strange. But I've learned that you have to be flexible to be used. And Sometimes people don't get used simply because they're not willing to step out in faith. Out of the 12, only Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. And out of the 12, from what we know, Peter was the biggest klutz of them all. But at least he had faith to get out. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out here on the water. It was only when he took his eyes off of Jesus and the storm bothered him that he lost sight and he began to sink. And he gave the shortest prayer in history. Save me! And he reached out his arm. The Lord picked him back up. So the parables open up doors in your spirit for you in thinking and to think in new ways and fresh ways. But above all, I think it reminds us there's more than meets the eye. When you're dealing with Jesus, there's more than meets the eye. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How shall you have faith? By the Word of God. That's how we get our faith. Well, how will they get the Word of God unless it's preached? And how can it be preached unless God sends a man to preach the Word? So the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And I found there's an equation of the Word in my heart that the Lord allows me to be called on at times. And there's times when it wouldn't be a good idea for him to call on me. But the more you love him, it's not that we love him more. It's just that the more we love him, it just seems like the more he loves us. But his love is so rich and so deep. It's not that his love is increasing because we're getting more spiritual. I think his love is full power on from the moment we accept him, but it's overwhelming to us like the parables were. And it's not that God has the essence of love or the aroma of love or the poetic theme of love. 1 John chapter 4 says God is love. He is love. And that's hard for many people because they have not known love. They don't understand how to give love. These parables should make you think in parables at times. There's a scripture that I found very early that was so bizarre. David in the psalm says, I sit alone on a housetop like a sparrow. That's kind of innocuous. There's nothing. I sit alone. But if you've ever sat alone and watched a sparrow who's alone, you can learn a lot. Our house has, every spring, lots and lots of baby birds being born. They build nests all through our eaves outside our dining room glass there. We just discovered one that we'd never seen before in our front yard in a tree, a little tiny hummingbird nest. And this little mama bird, she's just looking, always looking, that big pointed beak going out there. But the egg was smaller than the fingernail. She is so beautiful and yet so protective. One day we had a bird flying back to the nest, and out of nowhere, we live on next to a canyon, and there's all sorts of animals that come trotting by now and then. We had a cougar, a cat, wild cat one day, just going by. Hello, Macintoshes. And the other way went this big coyote. He's a big guy, and he's trotting along, man. He had a swagger like he would have been a hip-hop guy in the streets. We've had skunks, raccoons, mice, you name it. But out of nowhere, we were sitting at the table, and over to the corner is where these small birds get because there's an eave over it and hard to be attacked there. But from nowhere, as this mommy bird was, I saw her coming, a hawk, a red-tailed hawk with a span about that wide, dove right towards our windows, missed her, and knocked her against the wall with his wings. Ah, man, that's a rowdy guy. I was studying one Saturday outside, and all of a sudden, I didn't hear any noise. I just felt, boom, something. You know, I turned. I thought I was going to have to fight someone. And it was a hawk. He was just messing with my melon.
The parable of the sower has been our topic today on Chapter and Verse. Be sure to join us tomorrow for more from the Gospel of Mark. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. I want to remind you that chapter and verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at chapter and verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's chapter and verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Now let me invite you to join us next time here as we continue our series through the Gospel of Mark. Chapter and verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.